Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Jiva Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varenya Srila Yasi Bhakti Vedanta Shami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Nirmal Acharya Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bimal Avadhut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Jai Srila
Bhakti
Sudhir
Goswami
Maharaj Ki
Jai. Manasa Krishna Prabhu Ki Jai. The Maha Sankirtan of the Mahila Sakabrinda Ki.
Mahila?
Ladies. The lady, their kirtan is. Its vibration is becoming more intense. And extensive. And I think all the members of this housing, this gated community are benefiting. Hare Krishna. Any questions from anyone? Yes.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that of all mountains he is to Himalayas. But I recently read pray from Himalayas and Mount Sumeru, and they praise the Kalakhan and say and were saying that you're our king or something like that. So I just didn't understand how it was.
We need to become familiar with the expression achintya shakti, which means inconceivable energy, inconceivable potency. This word achintya is very important. It means what is beyond what we can conceive. That's what we're interested in. What we can conceive is available easily. Theistic culture is about what we cannot conceive. So Guru Maharaj used the expression, the infinite making itself known to the finite. Like I remember in school when they told us about infinity. Friday maybe was one of the first times I heard that. And it was in math and they drew something on the board and then they said, actually, this goes on forever, so we just put a symbol. This symbol here will mean that it goes on forever, because it's beyond what we can fathom. Some people will conclude, then why should we spend our time thinking about things that we can't understand or know? But that's really what theistic culture is all about. There's also the expression, avan manasagochara. Beyond what the mind can grasp. Rupa Goswami is the perfect sloka. Atakshi Krishna Namari Nabhavye Grahyaminje. He says, the name of Krishna, Namadi, the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. But Grahyam Indri, they're beyond the grasp of the senses, mind, intelligence, So sometimes it's described as unknown and unknowable. So if we're to apply our limited experience of the limited as a system for measuring the what is infinite, that it'll be a futile attempt and misleading. So when the man said to Guru Maharaj, if the finite can know the infinite, he's not infinite. And Guru Maharaj's response was, if the infinite cannot make itself known to the finite, he's not infinite. And that means necessarily omni, or revealed truth. Once Srila Guru Maharaj said to Saraswati Thakur that Rupa Goswami concludes Krishna Leela in a particular way, Sanatana Goswami concludes in another way. And we take it that they're both omniscient. So Guru Maharaj joking, what are we doing? One omniscient disagrees with another omniscient. And Saraswati Thakur's answer was, it is an adhoksaja. Adhoksaja. Adha oksaja. Oksaja means, again, the senses, the mind, everything. Saying that plane, the only way you can understand that it was in the mind and senses and intellect are suppressed by its descent. Not that, oh, I'll suppress my mind, senses, and intellect and understand that. No. When it chooses to descend, automatically the mind, senses, intellect will be suppressed. So there's a question of the culture of faith. Shraddha mayoyam loka. It's described. Shraddha means faith. Shraddhamoy, a world that is only accessible by faith. So you will find different descriptions and different scriptures. So I assume you're making one reference. There's Bhagavad Gita, Garga Sangita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and many others. But I think that's what we're dealing with here. So I remember myself, when I was reading the Bhagavad Gita and got to that section, and following what is being said, and then it said, of mountains I am, and I thought, oh, here it comes, he's going to say the Himalaya. But he didn't say that. He said, of mountains I'm Meru. Right? I'm just sharing, you know, I was reading this as a teenager, and I thought, this one, I know what this one's going to be. Wrong again. It wasn't, I thought it's going to be, I'm Everest. You know, and he didn't say, he said, I'm Meru. By extension, Sumeru. And we can say, oh, that's the mythical, legendary, Puranic mountain, whatever. It's more grand in a Puranic sense than Everest. Everest, we're talking about physical observation. Remember, and so we always have to remember, in spiritual culture, don't expect physical verification, you know, physical objective experience to verify what is subjective, super subjective, and the super, super subjective. And there are such things. Right? Subjective is the Brahma spiritual. Super subjective means the Vaikuntha world, lower hemisphere of the Vaikuntha world, and the super, super subjective means the upper region of the Vaikuntha world, the Prakriti Leela of Krishna, where things appear to be human-like, so even more deceptive. Everything's in human-like proportion. So how trace divinity will be of another way. So, but continuing on in the Bhagavad Gita, the Himalayas, they do get a mention, which is, says, of immovable objects, I'm the Himalaya. So, I've mentioned that sometimes that after making the search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, publishing that for Srila Guru Maharaj, it seemed there was so much discussion about Guru at the time, and there always will be, but it seemed more relevant at that time. And Guru Maharaj had said so many things about Guru, so I thought, let's make a book that's full of his descriptions about Guru. It'll be very helpful to everyone. And then I was thinking, what would be a title? Guru Maharaj selected the title, Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, for the first book. So he asked me, what I was thinking, and I said, this one phrase of his had caught my imagination. It was, Guru, heavier than the Himalayas. Because I was thinking, from my own point of view, I thought, if I was in a bookstore, because one of these books would be in bookstores, and I thought, if I was in a bookstore, and I walked past a book and it said, Guru, heavier than the Himalayas, I'd have to at least pick it up and see what it's about. So I was thinking, from that point of view, that's not how Srila Guru Maharaj thinks, unfortunately. So when I said that, I'm thinking Guru, heavier than the Himalayas, and Guru Maharaj immediately said, no, that is a partial conception. And, which I found interesting as a remark. And then he said, I've written an article many years ago, it was in the Harmonist, called Sri Guru and His Grace. And that is a more comprehensive concept. So that'll be good. And I thought, oh, okay. Sri Guru and His Grace. And we'll include that article as like the introduction to the book. So it was a very happy thing. And there was a break in the book called Guru, Heavier than the Himalayas. But it's a partial conception. But it made it there. Because it's a reference to such slokas as Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam Shabde Pare Chanishnatam Brahman Pasamashrayam. It's a famous sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam. After so many things are said, and it says, Tasmad Gurum Pra, therefore, you should Guru, Tasmad Gurum Prapadita, get a guru. Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam, inquiring about Shreya Uttamam, what is ultimately beneficial? Shabde Pare Chanishnatam, that person, they have deep, unshakable, immovable faith in Shabda Brahman. And spiritual sound and all its implications. That spiritual substance is encouched in spiritual sound. That's why Brahmins, as a footnote, really they're qualified by what other people having a difficulty understanding, Brahma, spirit, such thing, is more or less in their DNA. They understand this without effort, effortlessly. That's general spiritual understanding, but that's understood. So they're always happily engaged in spiritual culture. And Krishna likes Brahmins. Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Why does it mention some Varnashram? Varnashramic designation. Krishna likes this particular caste. It has nothing to do with that. It's about spiritual culture. They get him. They get Krishna. So, but others are having a hard time wrapping their heads around, oh, avan manasagochara, that's right. You can't. You can't wrap your mind around it. It'll never be wrapped around it. So Achintya Shakti, from the basis of theistic culture, you have to start with, he has inconceivable potency, can do anything. Right? And in his pastimes, these things are shown. So, just like in the Putana pastimes, when at last Putana, she comes as a beautiful girl, sneaks into the group, and everyone thinks, oh, she's so beautiful, looks like Lakshmi Devi, she's come to nurse the baby. Yashoda and Rohini are talking, they don't even give it a second thought. Then she's trying to poison Krishna. She's poisoned her breast. Krishna takes the breast, holds on to the drink, sucks out the poison, the milk, her life, and she's trying to push him off. It's not possible. Then she resumes her witch-like form, which is described as being 12 miles long. So much, and to add to that, the cowherd men led by Nanda Maharaj, who were just warned by Vasudev that you better get back to Gokula soon, some inauspiciousness in the air. When they get there and they see this giant body, one of their thoughts is that a flying mountain fell out of the sky. A flying mountain. Someone's saying, does it not look like a flying mountain that fell on his head? Could be. How many of you seen? And then they find on this mount hill-like breast of Putana, Krishna playing there. And what do they think? Oh, thank the Lord, Narayan, Vishnu, that if she'd fallen the other way, he would have been crushed. I think because, Nanda and Yashoda are very pious people, the Lord has been merciful to them in this way, otherwise their baby would have been crushed. So, sometimes Govardhan is described as being very small. It's in Gokula Vrindavan. So from one point of view, this is mentioned in the Govardhan Leela, that they're thinking, this hill is not capable, even being lifted, how can the whole of Vrindavan fit under there? Then we're told Govardhan has mystic power, so Govardhan can expand, and expands to a size to create an umbrella over the 32 square miles of Goloka Vrindavan. So Govardhan, again, being Krishna himself, Huntaya Madhulabala Haridasa Bharja Yadrama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayastayoya Pani Yasuya Vasakandara Kanda Mule. The Braja Gopis praise Govardhan It's not only Krishna, but Haridas Varja. How is then saying? It's the best servant of Krishna. That's peculiar also. And Guru Maharaj is mentioned in this way. Govardhan is similar to Mahaprabhu. Internally Krishna, but in the mood of a devotee. So, and in Guru Maharaj's sloka, where the conceptual architecture of Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat is encrypted, it says, Srimad Chaitanya Sarasvata Matabara Udgita Kirtir Jayasrim Bibrat Sambhati Ganga Tata Nikata Navadvipa Kola, then what? Adri Raje. So, Adri Raj is another name of Govardhan, means the king of all mountains, Govardhan. So what can compare to Govardhan in that sense? But for Govardhan to be the king of all mountains, does it have to be physically bigger than other ones? Especially in the Prakriti Lila of Krishna, it can be when it wants to be or needs to be, desires to be. So, and that abode of Krishna, and it's told, it says, you know, it says, what does it say? Sholosha, Krosha, 16 Krosha, it means 32 square miles. I mean, one system of measurement. But wait, how can a place that's being described as being 32 square miles, which is however much in kilometers, does it really matter? 1.6 times 32 for the mathematical geniuses in the group. So they're all just arbitrary systems of measurement anyway. The one given there is krosha, which is approximately two. But anyway, this is either baffling or charming and enduring. So we're told this place, which appears to be limited, is the ultimate aspect of the unlimited. The lower hemisphere, the Vaikuntha world, right, we're told there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, spiritual planets, and they're like a million miles wide by a million miles. And there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And Vaikuntha, Kunta means measurement. Vaikuntha means immeasurable, without, cannot be measured. We like to measure things. We're trying to measure things. We live in the world of measurement, and we employ arbitrary systems of measuring things. But the Vaikuntha world is immeasurable. So, but just to make a point, so there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, each one's like a million miles by a million miles. And then we're told all of them can be accommodated in an atom of Goloka Vrindavan, which appears to be 32 square miles. So this is the mysterious nature of Aprakrita Lila. The word Aprakrita is used very precisely. Because there are many words, other words that could be used that mean transcendental or spiritual. But this word is noteworthy. Aprakrita, because Prakrita means mundane. And Aprakrita means like that it appears to be mundane. But it's not. So everything, it appears to be small. But it's the opulence aspect is suppressed. Guru Maharaj sometimes describes the, what he calls the central conception of the infinite. We hear Vedanti tat, tatvavidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shavyate. On the one hand, we're told advaya jnana. There's only one substance, one thing. But that one can be understood in three aspects: Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So Brahma described sometimes as all accommodating Brahma. Everything fits within that. Paramatma is all pervasive, all permeating. It's within everything. So these are the extremes of the infinite. One, greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest. But Guru Maharaj poses a question. If one's greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest, then what will be the central conception of the infinite? The golden mean of the infinite will be what? One's all accommodating, one's all permeating. The third will be all attractive. The central conception of the infinite and appears to be human-like dimensions. So although Govardhan described as Adriraj, from a physical observational sense, that may not be visible. So once Srivas Thakur teased Swarup Damodar by saying, what is the opulence of Vrindavan compared to the opulence, the majesty of Vaikuntha? Or Lakshmi Devi, there's described these jeweled palaces. She's decked out in gems. She's Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. He's saying, and what do they have in Vrindavan? Some trees, flowers, fruits, some cows, river. And when he's speaking like that, Mahaprabhu warns him and says, don't tease Swarup Damodar. He said, because he's a Shuddha Brijvasi. And he said, the word opulence is not in his dictionary. And Swarup Damodar said, no, it's not that, not like that, but he's saying, Srivas, I think you've lost your mind to speak like this. But actually the purpose of Srivas Thakur speaking like this is to bring Swarup Damodar out to say something about Goloka Vrindavan. And he says, quoting Bilba Mangal Thakur in the Krishna Karnamrita, Chintamani's charana bhushana manganam shringara pushpa tarava suranam vrindavanam brajadanam nanu kamadenu vrindani cheti supasindur aho vibhuti. Aho, he's saying, oh, you don't know what is the opulence of Vrindavan. And he started Chintamani, talking about the Chintamani gem, which is the spiritually conscious gem. We are in the beginning of Brahma Sangita. Chintamani Prakata Sadmasu, Kalpa Vriksha, Lakshavarti, Surabhi, those gems, those trees, those cows, what are they? So he's saying, these gems, they're spiritually conscious gems, they spring out of the soil, Vrindavan. Remember, that soil, when he said, one of these Chintamani gems has more opulence, majesty concentrated in it than the whole of the Vaikuntha world with its innumerable Vaikuntha planets and opulence. One gem has more than that. And these gems, the Braja Gopis thread them and wear them on the ankles of their lotus feet. So on the lotus foot of one Braja Gopi is more opulence than the Vaikuntha world. And they like Govardhan very much. Antaya madrulabala haridasa varja. And what are those trees? You say just some trees. Those trees are kalpa vriksha, desire fulfilling trees. Whatever is necessary for the service of Krishna. And the cows are surabhi cows. Kamadenu, they fulfill all desires. So it's on the plea of a very human-like environment. Krishna Jateka Kela Saratam Naralila Naravapu Tahara Swarup Gopavesh Venukar Navakishore Natabar Naralila Hoyanarup. Just perfect for the pastimes of Krishna. Once in Vrindavan, Mother Krishna, after he's 1 year old, she likes to hold him on her lap like that. It's kind of like mothers do, where he can almost like stand, but he can't. But then she's holding, then suddenly, by Krishna's divine will, start becoming heavy. Heavier than the Himalayas. And she has to put Krishna down. And she's doing some service, and Krishna, he was liking that, but he's thinking, she can, you know, lift me so high, but I would like to fly in the sky, as children do. Someone goes like this, and they think, I wonder what it would be like to go like, can you do that so I will touch the clouds? So he's thinking like that. And Kamsa sent a wizard demon to, remember, Krishna Leela is casted and scripted by Yogamaya and Baladeva. So it just so happened that a whirlwind comes, like a tornado, Trinavarta. So Krishna, now he's made his way like shishya. Word shishya, shishya, guru, and guru means heavy, heavier than the Himalayas, in fact. But shishya, the word for disciple, means light, like light as a feather, can be carried away by the wind. So Krishna is like shishya, and the tornado comes and like shh, and then no one can see anything, and you sort of think, where? She can't find Krishna. She's searching. Search for Sri Krishna, cannot find Krishna. And meanwhile, Krishna's like, he's spun off and he's saying, I'm flying. So he's saying, this is a lot of fun. And that demon saying, I've got him. But then Krishna, again, like a child, this is the play of the sweet absolute. He's playing like a child. When he looks down, that's one thing, is you can't look down. You have to remember that. So he looks down and he grabs that demon by the throat, because he's so afraid of falling that he's like really holding his and the demon's like Yes. So he like chokes to death and falls down on the ground. They find Krishna again. Mother Yashoda, meanwhile, she's passed out, having lost her everything. And other Brajagopis, they go there, and what do? Immediately, they're taking like the switch of a cow, they're chanting mantras. Gopis, they're doing all kinds of things to try and protect him. There, so what does that tell us? In other words, what this tells us, their love and affection for Krishna is so great that his God himself or knowledge of his divinity can't overwhelm that. And if something comes, they dismiss it as something else. Coincidence, or good fortune, the piety of Nanda Yashoda, or Gargarishi told us, Narayana Shama, he's kind of like Narayan. He's very Vishnu-like. So this is sweet ignorance. Jnana Shunya Bhakti. Guru Maharaj said in one place that Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. But what does that mean? They're so full of love and affection. They're posing as ignorant. They've forgotten more than we'll ever know. So, like Yashoda, the cowherd boys complain that, and even Balaram, that Krishna's eaten earth. So Krishna comes before her. And Mother Yashoda, like, this is the sweetness of Krishna Leela. She's treating him like, he needs to fear me. That's very good. And he need, you know, and she starts inquiring from Krishna. She can tell he's lying. Like children do, they lie about things. So he's lying. But then he's saying, but if you think I'm lying, she knows he's lying. But if you think I'm lying, because I would never eat earth, I don't do things like that. You can look in my mouth and see. He opens, and Mother looks in his mouth and she sees the earth planet and all the other planets and there's so many stars and the world, and she sees so many things. And momentarily, she's thinking, it's by some incredible illusion of yoga maya that I'm thinking I'm his mother, Nanda is my husband, his father, and the whole scenario that we might observe by the, from the perspective of ontology, what we understand about Krishna conception. But her motherly affection is so great that that's like a dream for her. It came and then it went. So, and we can think, why? Because that allows for them to love Krishna as he is, not because he's the Supreme Lord, the Infinite, the Personality of Godhead, so many other considerations. And we see similar things of people in this world who have a lot of money, fame, etc. They have it's difficult for people to have loving relationships with them because they're thinking this person is famous, they're wealthy, so many other considerations. Like our temple in Italy is in Milano for Krishna Kanta Devi and Munendra Mohan Prabhu, and sometimes the other Anu Krishna. near there is Como, a place called Como. There's a lake there, and among other things. And sometimes wealthy people like to go live there. So one of them is George Clooney. And when he went to live there, he met with the townspeople and he said, I crave anonymity. I would like to live here just as one of you. Is that possible? And they said, yeah, no problem. So because he's so famous and wealthy and this, that, and the other thing, he's like, I want to be in a place where I'll just be one of the people and they would treat me like one of them. You see, even here, that thing. So there's a parallel to that in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, where Krishna is saying, if on account of Aishwarya Gyan, knowledge of my divinity, majestic aspect, if that constrains the natural flow of love in the heart, I'm disappointed. And Rupa Goswami analyzes and outlines these things for our edification in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is sometimes Guru Maharaj called the science of devotion. So at the end of one pastime where Krishna saves everyone, there are different cowherd boys according to whether they're the same, equal in age to Krishna, there's more tenet of equality, or if they're a little older than Krishna, like in the case of Balaram, they may be imbued also with a mixture of vatsalya rasa sentiment, some concern, this protecting feeling. But if they're a little younger, might be going towards the servitorship. Their friendship may be colored a little more in that way. So Rupa Goswami gives an example. After some particular pastime, after Krishna saved everyone, one of the cowherd boys in the inferior position, he wanted to really hug and embrace Krishna. But then he like stopped and thought, well, that's not appropriate. But elsewhere, Krishna's saying, oh, I'm disappointed if some consideration, if I'll be deprived of the loving embrace of my devotee, just unhappy for me. And that's a principle there. So in Charitamritam, Kaviraj Goswami Rivian, where Saint Krishna in first person is saying, I like when the cowherd boys, when you know, they challenge me and say, you're not such a big man, I can take you. Best, 2 out of 3. And they defeat Krishna, and Krishna has to carry them on his shoulders. And that boy is triumphant, being carried on the shoulders of Krishna. That's inconceivable. We're always talking about approaching the lotus feet of Krishna, how rare that is. Yadvanchana Srila Anachara Tapo, Lakshmi Devi performed austerities in the forest for lifetimes to try and enter the rasa dance. to get this intimate connection with the lotus feet of Krishna here. And some will point out, in the case of Putana, she couldn't get the lotus feet of Krishna off of her. So then those who are interested in devotion will say, what a fortunate position. Leve Katim Datri Uchitan Tatomyam Kambadayam Sharanam Rajima. How fortunate. What kind of merciful Lord is Krishna? Someone comes with murderous intentions and they get liberation. And not only that, a very high type. So then that's one thing to marvel at. Another is then, well, then she got promoted to this mother-like position. You can say nurse-like, mother-like. So then they said, well, if she was considering her approach was like that, what if you just approach him neutrally? And that would be better than that. And what about if it was in a mood of servitorship, friendship? In that way, the analysis proceeds. Jarje raseha hoise sarvatam. Whatever one you're experiencing, you think, what could be better than this? As Saraswati Thakur said, when presented a plate with many wonderful prasadam on it, they asked him, which one do you like the best? And he said, each one is better than the other one. Whatever you're tasting at the time, this is the best. What could be better than this? But Rupa Goswami says, tatasta vichar. By an impartial analysis only, then we could say this madhura rasa is the sweetest. So, when Vasudev and Devaki want Krishna to stop with the forearm form and become like a human child so that they can hide him. That means Gyana Shunya Bhakti. And Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says the dialogue can go something like this, that Krishna is saying to Vasudev, but if Kamsa comes, he'll see the sweetness of, he'll be charmed by the sweetness of my form. And Vasudeva saying, he has no appreciation for that kind of sweetness. Trust me, he won't get it. I'm telling you. And Mother Yashoda, she's all like children, they get a little overly confident. So her child saying, I killed the Madhu demon. He's saying, yes, you killed the Madhu demon, but he's nothing in comparison to Kamsa. This little boy thinks he can. So she's saying, she realizes that he's in this divine mood, so she better humor him with praise and flattery of his divinity, and saying, but really, just if you want to make me happy, become like a human baby. And then I can hide you before the bad guys come. So this type of sweet interplay is between Krishna and his devotees. So how to enter that plane? Once hearing Srila Guru Maharaj describe some of these things, out of sequence, out of place, and I said, well, what about in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad jaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee. And because he'd been talking about Yashoda, Guru Maharaj said, "We left that a long time ago." It's the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "We left that a long time ago." Manmada, you know, you're going to tell Yashoda to become, always think of Krishna, become his devotees. That's why when, in separation, when Krishna sends a message to the Brajagopis that they should take up yoga, meditation will be good to relieve the separation, they become angry. They're insulted. But we should become, we should like learn yoga. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, and you know, and you can sing, meditate. Kamsa's advisors are saying, "This Krishna, Vishnu, whoever he is, he's hiding in the hearts of everyone. He's so afraid of you. You're so great. He's hiding in the hearts of everyone in fear." Adhoksaja. So Guru Maharaj told so many times. This word adhoksaja is used repeatedly in the Bhagavatam to describe Krishna. But in one place in a unique way. So when Uddhava's taking this message to the Brajagopis about how they learned previously about learning meditation, but here in the Brahmar Gita, he tells them another meaning of adhoksaja. And he says, because akshaja also means the eyes, and adha means down. So Uddhava tells him, if you will all close your eyes and think of Krishna, he will appear. And they close their eyes, and by the arrangement of yoga maya, the contraction, expansion of time and space, Krishna appears before them. They engage in the rasa dance for millions of years. Contraction of time and space. Then Uddhava says, you can open your eyes now. So after that, they could understand the power of remembrance of Krishna, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, thinking about Krishna. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavigar yiditam kalmasa avam. Savana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuri Granantite Bhuri Dajaram. So Mahaprabhu leapt up after all the ecstatic dancing of Rath Yatra, hearing that, and embraced Prataparudra Maharaj. He said, now you've given me something, really, you gave me the best thing imaginable, beyond, well, Avan Manasagoshara, Adhoksaja, beyond what is imaginable. You've given me Krishna by talking about him. He appears, Uttama Sloka, it's one of his names. He appears within the descriptions of himself. He said, I can't, there's nothing I can give you that would be commensurate to your gift to me, so I'm embracing you. That's all I can do. And incidentally, that's more than Prataparudra Maharaj had dreamed. To be embraced by Mahaprabhu. that a clock or a cricket?
It's too here.
From who?
I can tell you.
It's the antithesis of those who want to boast. They have love of God, they love everybody, they love themselves. The devotional culture is antithetical to that. No prema gandasti drapi mehuro krandami sobhagya varam prakashitam. Mahaprabhu was saying, I don't have a scent, to smell, the scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, what to speak of a drop. And that he's voicing an expression of Radharani. Radharani. So it's measured in the inverse. What is it saying? Na anuraga, na anurag. Durdeva midrasami hajani na anurag. My misfortune, sometimes my bad luck. I don't have any appreciation for these things. And what's the evidence? To live in the absence of a connection. So that is it's thematic to Vaishnava culture, beginning, middle, and end. It's not, in the lower plane, the devotees are expressing like that. No, in the highest plane, as we told, Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani. But if we examine such personalities, we will find oceanic depths of good qualities within them. Siddhanta, a mine of Siddhantic gems in Ramananda, Sambhad, and other places. But examining themselves, why are they so harsh in their judgment? It's indicative of the depth of penetration in Krishna conception. So they're thinking by comparison, so high is Krishna, so wonderful, so great. Or their appreciation of other Vaishnavas. So we find in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, as Narada is praising one devotee, they're deflecting that praise and deferring to another who they consider to be a real devotee. When he's praising the Pandavas, Yudhisthira says that my lamentation is that people will think of observing our pastimes, they will think being a devotee of Krishna is a life of trouble. This one horrific circumstance after another, and they'll be discouraged from taking to a life of devotion. That's what by observing our pastime, that bothers me. Narada's response is, what they will see is that life, which is one horrific circumstance after another, that for the devotee, Krishna comes to rescue them. That's what they'll see from your pastimes. So it is the nature of Vaishnavas to to engage in self-deprecation while appreciating the good qualities of others, which Srila Gurudev summed up very nicely in the expression, he said, my religion is finding fault with myself. Another time he said, my religion is praising others. So, Trinadapi Sunichena Tororiva Sishna Amanina Manadena Kirtinya Sadaha Hari. I go with Torora Pisa Hishnuna. He said, a tree, why more tolerant than a tree or worse than a tree? He's giving a particular interpretation. He said, a tree is just living out its karma, it's not doing anything wrong. He said, you can do wrong. You're worse than a tree. He said, like a madman with a knife. He can harm himself. So the tree is just, it can't do any wrong. It's finishing with his karmic destiny. So that comes from Vaishnava culture. Sometimes I would ask Mangal Maharaj, say, Maharaj, how are you today? He'd say, I don't know. And sincerely, he'd say, I don't know. Because the Vaishnavas, they say, as you keep me, to the other Vaishnavas. So he means to say, those who are Vaishnavas, they know how I'm doing. I don't know how I'm doing. Or if he was in a particularly confident and bold mood, he'd say, Maharaj, how are you? He'd say, I think I'm okay. But I'm not sure. So that should not be misunderstood as the, in this world, what the people suffering from low self-esteem and these types of pop psychoanalysis. Because we find that these self-deprecating Vaishnavas plumbing the depths of negativity are capable of super seva and expression and capacity. This is different. This is the culture of humility. So, I've mentioned this before, the superconductors. Don't worry, this will be short. Superconductors. There are ceramics that if you